It's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good Saturday morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Memorial Day weekend. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm Tiffany Bacon here with Marcos Mercado, and we definitely welcome your phone calls as we talk about our topic today. Do you want to get well? Reach out to us at 215-263-1039 or 1-800-995-7644. Marcos, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, and good morning to all our friends, and we want to thank you for joining us this morning. We have an amazing topic. We have some great things to talk about, you know, as we want to enrich, empower, and encourage you to have a great marriage. And Tiffany, just like you mentioned, do you want to get well? And I don't mean you, I mean all of our listeners. You know, sometimes we're stuck in a rut. Sometimes we want things to be different, but we just stay there, and we're kind of at this standstill, this stagnant stage in our relationship. And so really, when we think about that question, do you want to get well? It's really posed from a scripture in John chapter 5. And as usual, even before we go to the scripture, we want to go to God in prayer.
Yes.
So let's pray together. Our God in heaven, we thank you so much, Father, for the way that you heal us, Father, the way you help us to change, the way you want us to change, Father. You have expectations for us. And we pray, Father, that we can live up to those expectations when it comes to our marriages, when it comes to our life, God, when it comes to our walk with you. Father, we thank you so much. We pray that this morning, at this time, through this show, Father, we'll be able to touch many hearts, change many marriages, Father. And even those who are not planning to listen, Father, that they would tune in. And Father, those who are planning to listen, those who are listening right now, that we will all connect with you a little closer. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, in John chapter 5, there's amazing story here of a man who was sitting by a pool. And it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast at the feast of the Jews. Now, there in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate is a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." You know, are you sick and tired? Are you in some way, shape, or form in a position where you can relate to this man? Where for 38 years, and then, you know, the Bible has a lot of humor, and it says there that Jesus realized he was there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say maybe that's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
But I know all of right now, this morning, there are many of you who are listening that have been in that position. You've been in a troubled marriage, your faith is struggling, your relationship is not where it needs to be, and it's been like that for a while. It's been a long time. And so we want to pose that question for you. Do you want to get well?
Yeah.
You know, Tiffany, when we ask questions like this, you know, a lot of times, you know, we'll get callers or the first thing that people think about is, okay, well, I do want to get well, but it's not me. It's my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If they change, then my marriage will be different.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to ask you, and we want to encourage you to call us. And the question we want to ask you is, if there was one thing, just one thing you can change about yourself that will make your marriage better, what would that be?
Mm.
Okay, so don't call in. Don't talk about what your spouse needs to change and what they need to do differently. But if there was one thing that you need to do differently, what would that be? Because even in this passage, this man sat there and he made it seem like, okay, it was other people's fault. You know,
right.
I tried, you know, I'm here and they go in first. And so Jesus is like, so what, do you even want this? Do you want to get well? And I know it might sound like a redundant question, but we want to ask you, do you want to get well? Ask yourself and give us a call.
All right. The numbers are 215-263-1039 or 877-995-7644. Do a little self-assessment this morning. Don't complain about your partner. Talk about yourself. 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. So why don't you answer the question yourself?
Sure, I absolutely will. You know, there are always things that I can do better, and that we all can change and do better. And one of the things right now that I've been working on that actually it's, I'll be honest, it's been a challenge, is I'm changing my physical appearance.
Okay.
And what I'm talking about is not those things that I have absolutely no control over. Like, okay, I can't get taller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could try, but I can't. You know, I can't. There's certain things I cannot change. Right. I'm talking about those things that I can change that would I would feel even better about myself, mm-hmm, that my wife could be encouraged as well. And so I'm really working on my physical appearance.
Okay.
I'm working out hard. I'm eating right. I mean, it's one of those things. And I tell you, I've done that in the past. But the challenge for me is to keep going.
Uh-huh.
It's to make that a lifestyle. Because too many times for me, I've done it and, you know, I feel kind of good with the results. And then, okay, I go back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like back and forth. Okay, mm-hmm, here I'm again. The following year, I'm working again on my physical appearance. Mm-hmm. And it's been really encouraging. It's been great for us because not only has it helped me, my whole family, my wife, mm-hmm, my two kids. I mean, we're all working on this together. And it's not because I twisted their arm. It's just they've been inspired.
Right.
We've been eating differently. We've been, you know, even going running together at the track.
Awesome.
You know, we have a treadmill. We run at the treadmill. We got the We Fit. I mean, we got all these things going. And actually, we've been pretty consistent. And so that's exciting for us. So that's what it is for me. I want to say, okay, not in the past, I'll be honest. I would tell my wife, I say, you know, honey, I'm gaining some weight here. Why are you cooking that food? It's your fault. You know, you're putting that plate before me. Yeah, but right, I'm eating it. And so it wasn't until I made a decision, okay, I need to do this,
right,
for myself, right, for her to feel great, and even for my relationship with God. It just, there's something about when you feel great about yourself, you could do even better spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's for me, what I need to change. So I haven't said anything about my wife because that comes later. We'll talk about that later. So all those who are wondering, okay, well, when are we going to talk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in a healthy way, we will talk about those things that our spouses could change. But right now, the question we're asking is, what do you need to change? What's one thing that you would change that would help your marriage because you change?
Mm-hmm. So again, the numbers are 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Now, as a marriage and family counselor, Marcos, do you find that it's difficult to actually have people admit these things to themselves? You know, you often hear, well, he's doing this and she's doing that, he and she and he and she and he and she. But do you find that people have a hard time saying, yeah, well, it is me?
I think so, but it really does depend how hurt that person is.
Mm.
Because when you're hurt, I mean, again, I don't know. I've heard Bill Cosby say this. I don't know who else, you know, and where it originated, where they're saying this, but hurt people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so true. So when you're in a relationship, someone you love, someone you've given your whole heart to, you've devoted your life together, and you're hurt, it's so hard to say, okay, well, even through all this, what can I have done differently?
Right.
Because sometimes those hurts are very serious and they're real.
Yeah.
If it's infidelity, if it's, you know, that person just really, you know, verbally abuses you or whatever the case may be, you know, when we're talking about even on the extreme sense of hurt. But even with the small thing, if you're hurt right there in the moment, you know, your loved one, the beautiful wife you married is, tells you something that hurts, or, you know, that man that you really, you know, look up to and you love him and he hurts you, then it's so much harder. You know, that's why the Bible says, you know, why are you looking at that speck in your brother's eye when you have a plank in yours?
Right.
But I believe Jesus, with his infinite wisdom, knew, okay, wait a minute, we're wired that way. It's easy for us to see someone else and what they need to change. And it's hard for us, perhaps not only to see it, but to admit it. You know, our pride gets in the way, our feelings get in the way, you know, and even sometimes just our own emotions get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay, I know what I got to change, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about you right now.
Right.
And it doesn't help, because guess what? The other person tends to do the very same thing.
Right.
So now you're going back and forth.
Back and forth.
You're going, well, no, if you change. No, if you change. Well, if you change first. No, if you change first. And
right,
then that is perhaps the most difficult aspect of trying to help someone to see what it is that they need to do first.
So when you're talking about a situation, say your husband or your wife is doing something that's, you know, not cool, whatever that not cool is, you know, maybe they're too self-centered, or maybe they, you know, speak in a tone that's not appealing to you. You know, it feels combative. And you approach them and they say to you, well, you do the same thing.
Okay.
How should that person who did the initial approach respond, you know, to not create conflict, cause conflict, get them to think about it? Because, you know, in a sense, you're like, hey, you know, the whole plank thing. Yeah. All right. I feel you. But this is how you approach me often. Like every time you talk to me, you do the same thing. What would you advise that person?
Well, let's get real. It happens in all marriages, right? If this were a situation, my wife and I, and we actually made kind of an agreement with us, with each other. Mm-hmm. And what that agreement is, if the person that brings it up really has that right to be able to point it out, like meaning if she says to me, you know, honey, love you, but you're doing this and it's bothering me. Mm-hmm. I can't. This is the agreement we made. I can't use that opportunity now to show her what I think she needs to change. So what we've agreed on is, okay, we'll talk about that. Now, there are things and that, of course, everybody else needs to change, but we'll talk about that at a later time because she approached this first.
Okay.
And so even if I'm not ready to answer it right then and there, because sometimes you do need time to kind of gather your thoughts, to digest it, to pray about it, to think about it some more. And so even if that's the case, when we get together again, if we're getting together, you know, and for the initial conversation or a follow-up of, you know, the facts that things that I have to change, then we need to talk about those. Vice versa. If I bring it up. And so, again, is it easy? Absolutely not. But because we made this agreement, we say, you're right. You're, you know, it's not my time. It's not my place. And we'll, you know, really tend to work on those things. And it has helped us. Okay. I don't remember when we decided to make that agreement with each other, but I'm pretty sure it started because we were going back and forth. So we said, you know what? From now on, person that brings it up is the person that kind of has that right, the upper hand to be able to point those things out. And it's not fair. It's not right to go ahead and turn it around.
Okay. That sounds good. Hopefully someone listening can utilize that in their own experience. We do want to go to the phones, but I wanted to just follow that up, Marcos, with is it possible then to avoid resentment? You know, if you have that agreement, if you make that agreement, can you avoid resentment if it's, you know, a situation, just something off the top of my head? I hate it when you leave food in the sink, or I hate it when you leave dirty dishes in the sink. And that same person is always leaving dirty dishes in the sink. So I can imagine that immediately that would cause some kind of resentment, like you want me to clean this up, but you don't clean this up. I can see that being an issue in someone's home. How do you avoid that feeling of, but you're going to do the same thing. Like, I can clean this up, but you're going to leave the dishes in the sink.
Yes. Are you talking about that no matter how much you talk about it or how much you point it out over and over again, it doesn't change?
It's still going to be the same.
Well, I think some things you need to pick your battles about. I mean, some things are just not worth bringing it up all the time and making, you know, starting a fight or an argument for. Now, I'm not saying that's one of them, you know, because if it really affects you and you come home and every time you come home, you see that over and over and over again and you get to the point, then after a while you start feeling like, wait a minute, do you even care what I'm telling you? This bothers me. And that actually starts communicating to your spouse that you don't care, that you're not considering them, that what you say is not valid because your actions are showing the opposite. They're saying, okay, oh, honey, I'll change. I love you. But then you see it over and over and over again. And so honestly, what we tell people all the time is, you know, if something's not working, though, you have to change the approach. You know, the definition of insanity is to do something over and over and over again and expect a new result. So in this case, it would be insane to, if you point it out one way and it still doesn't change, then that's when you have to take it to another, a different approach, to another level, perhaps calling in another couple that's mature, that they've been through something similar. So that's a great time to ask advice. You know, not that you're trying to tell on your spouse, but to say, look, and make it, take the humble road. Say, you know, I need some help. I feel like I'm having a hard time communicating something that's really important, because if you believe your spouse loves you, that you know, and you can tell yourself, they're not doing this on purpose, just something, we're not seeing eye to eye for a reason. You're telling them it's important, but something is happening, and there's a breakdown in communication, so get help. But when you get help, don't say, oh, I need help. This man just won't clean up. Instead of saying, you know what, let me get help. What am I doing wrong? Or what can I do differently? Because the approach is not working.
All right. Good stuff. Let's hear from you, the listening audience. So what one thing could you change about yourself that would make your marriage better? 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Let's go right to Zandy calling in from West Oak Lane. Zandy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I am kind of sad. My husband and I haven't been married a year yet. Well, it had been a year in June, and we separated last night.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. All right. Yes, give us your situation and what you need specifically help with here.
Well, basically, we're a blended family, and his ex-wife has only, her issues are with us, that once we got married, she's, you know, doing everything that she could possibly can in order to cause drama in our marriage. And I see it. Mm-hmm. What's going on, and I try to bring it to my husband's attention, and I get attacked for it. So then it's also that he has a son that's over our house every weekend, and I work days and he works nights. Mm-hmm. Weekends are really the only time that we have together.
Okay.
And it's just too much. I mean, his son has no boundaries. I raised my daughter's 25. And I know a child has their place, and his son doesn't. And he expects me just to accept that. Now, okay. He can walk all over you, but he's not going to walk all over me. He's not going to disrespect me or my home. And okay. When I bring small things to his attention, like his son stole from me, he did nothing about it. When it was finally confronted that, you know, this is what he did, he still did nothing about it. His son told my daughter that he did steal it.
Okay.
Now that you know, you want to call my daughter who lives in Florida. For what?
Okay.
That's not the issue.
Okay, Sandy, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. You know, the question we're asking this morning is, what could you do different to help your marriage? I mean, I'm sure there are things that the children did, that he did, but what about you? Is there anything that you've been able to see about yourself through this?
I think that I could have been more patient and more understanding, you know, of his son, which I have. Like, I've accepted him, and I love the kid and all of that. But it's just going through the trial and learning how to trust God, that God sees it, and that he'll fix it instead of allowing my emotion to take over. When you, like you said, it's a definition of insanity if you keep talking about the same thing and trying to fix a problem the one way and not getting any results.
Absolutely.
It kind of brings you to this point where now my marriage is over. So if I had that patience to really, you know, go to God with it and keep it under the blood more and, you know, fasted over it more, I'm pretty sure that results could have shown. And not to say that I haven't. I just say I haven't been as consistent with it.
Okay. Well, Sandy, first of all, I want to encourage you, you know, it's not over. You know, there's that gospel song, it's not over until God says it's over. And the reality is, you know, we can make our mistakes and we sometimes not do things the right way. But the great thing about God's grace is that there's always an opportunity for change. And you know what? Perhaps this is a really good lesson for the both of you to learn and take some time to say, wait a minute, what could we have done differently? But I do want to encourage you with something, Sandy, and I do appreciate that you're starting to make that shift and even looking at the things that you could have done differently. Because when you started, and I know you didn't mean to do this, but it happens so often. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you kind of, just to let you know what we heard on the other end, is we heard you venting and we heard you pointing the finger that it was your husband and his children, and that's why. And it wasn't until we asked you the question, okay, wait a minute, what could you have done differently? And if that's what you're sharing with us on the air, I could imagine, just imagine what happened behind closed doors when you would argue or have a discussion with your husband and you tell him, wait a minute, it's your fault. And again, I'm not saying you're intentionally doing this, but you got to be able to really be careful with your words and really take that humble road. Because, yes, I'm sure there are things that they could have done differently. But you know what perhaps your husband is thinking right now? He's thinking, wait a minute, this woman, she didn't realize that she was nagging me about this situation. And she doesn't know that this is my son. And she doesn't know, and, you know, and whatever. And then it becomes what we were talking about earlier when we were saying, okay, the person begins to focus on the other one and vice versa. And then you don't get anywhere. So my encouragement to you, Sandy, is what you did just now, just a minute ago, when you started saying, wait a minute, I could have been more patient. I need to grow in my patience. It's really work on those things and see what God does with the rest.
That makes sense.
All right, Sandy, thank you so much for your phone call. I hope that Marcos was able to help you this morning.
He was. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Marcos, let's go to Wilmington, Delaware, where Mark is waiting for us on the line. Hello? Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great.
Fine.
Yourself?
All right. So answer the question for us, Mark. If you could change one thing about yourself that would make your marriage better, what would it be?
Be slow to speak, slow to anger, and slow to wrath.
Okay, and how has that been something that has really affected your marriage in a negative way? Not the fact that you've been doing those things, but... You know, the fact that you haven't been.
Well, when I'm quick to speak, I don't think about what I'm saying. I'm quick to lash out or say something that's going to hurt her or affect her because I may not like what she said or what she's done.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm slow to speak and I'm slow to anger and I'm slow to rap, I find that my approach is totally different. It's in a more loving, kind, patient way that I communicate with her on how I feel. Or something I may not like or appreciate or something like that.
Absolutely. And Mark, we want to encourage you that, you know, this is what you're talking about is not an easy thing to change. It sounds easy, but I know that for my children, specifically my daughter, she has this scripture actually framed in her room because this is one of the very first things that we attacked that we started teaching her because she has a cute little mouth that she just shoots out things and she would be really quick to speak instead of quick to listen. But, you know, it starts young. And so what you're talking about changing, Mark, although not impossible, you need to understand it's going to be tough because your character, if you're struggling with these things, is your character already is one that is perhaps quick to speak instead of quick to listen. But, and so, you know, we do commend that, though. It does start with being able to see those things, being able to say, okay, wait a minute, I need to change this. But at the same time, don't be fooled. It's not something that can easily be changed. It's not like a habit. It's something that has to change from within your actual heart and your character.
Right, correct. And also is that words have such power that you could say a negative word and it does more damage. It's like throwing a boulder at somebody.
Absolutely.
And you can't take that word back. It's there.
Well, you could,
and,
but it's never.
I'm trying to learn. I haven't learned. I'm becoming. I'm not... Haven't come. My wife's a marriage therapist, and I think one of the most difficult things is the expectations that I have on her, because I think that she knows certain things.
Absolutely.
But she may help a married couple with certain things, but to live it herself is something totally different.
Okay. Well, Mark, we thank you so much for your openness and your vulnerability on the air in terms of the things you need to change, and we do encourage you to keep going. You know, it will be different.
All right. Thank you so much. Have an awesome day. And with that, we're going to take a brief pause and just stay there. We will be right back with more conversation on Marriage Beyond the Vows after this.
Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
Thanks a lot and welcome back. We are talking this morning on Marriage Beyond the Vows about, Do you want to get well? That is our overall topic. But the question to you, the listening audience right now, is if you could change one thing about yourself that would make your marriage better, what thing would that be? 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Marcos, let's go right to Desiree, who's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning. How are you? You're live on the air. Desiree? Hi, Desiree, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, good morning. You're live on the air.
And I say good morning to you.
Awesome.
It's an honor to be able to call you all because I haven't found my place to be able to call you all. I'm not married anymore.
Oh.
I'm single, and it just happened last month, but I give God praise. It's just all about a healing process.
Yes.
I went to the pool. I found my way to the pool.
Mm.
And what I want to say is what God wants is for us to find our way to the pool and to learn in when we were found ourselves needing that healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning experience. It's a growing experience. And but I know as Christians, we have to understand by his stripes, we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know that we are healed. And it's all about establishing a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that he, in establishing that relationship, he is our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
He's our healer. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, we are to, when we establish that relationship, we have to expect God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to hear him.
That is so true. That is so true.
We have to walk with him. We got to talk with him. In establishing that relationship, these are the things that we're going to experience.
Okay.
And the experience has been quite rewarding during this time. I have been separated for about 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I found my way to the pool.
Okay.
And that's where the healing took place. And in those moments, the prayer that I used in those 11 years is that the Lord was my shepherd.
Yes, yes.
Do not want. And you know, ooh.
That is so true.
I prayed for myself, praying for myself. And I not only pray for myself, I pray for others.
That's so good.
Like you said,
Desiree,
hurt people.
Hold on.
That's good. Desiree, I just want to say, you know, we're very encouraged that you found that healing. I mean, an amazing story there. You have been separated for 11 years, and then you say you finally made your way to the pool. We do want to encourage you, you know, stay in prayer. You know, it sounds like you're rejoicing, and we do appreciate everything that you had to share with us regarding that situation. So we thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, Desiree, have an awesome day. Thank you so much. We have Philip calling in from Camden, New Jersey. Philip, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Philip, hi. You're live on the air. Good morning.
Oh, no, my name is Joseph.
Oh, Joseph.
Joseph, I'm sorry. Hi, Joseph.
How are you?
All right. Good morning. What's your comment?
I was going to comment about the thing that you got to change about yourself.
Yes.
And your marriage.
Okay, well, tell us.
Pretty much, I think the one thing that I could change. Hello, good morning.
No, we hear you.
Yes,
we hear. Yeah, one thing I could change about myself is probably communication. Like when we get into an argument,
mm-hmm.
I tend to shut myself out because I feel like we're not getting anywhere. Like we're just arguing and there's no solution. And I hate when basically if you two people are just bickering and bickering, shouting their points out, and we're not getting anywhere. We're just the argument just escalating out of control for no purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? I think you are really at a good place when you're able to see that about yourself. You know, people think it's easy to be able to see what you have to change, but like we said earlier, when you're hurt, when you see that someone else is doing something over and over again that affects you, it's a lot harder. And you're saying, you know what? You don't want to shut yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pattern. Perhaps, you know, that's what you used to do as a defense mechanism growing up. And now, You know, the Bible talks about considering others above yourself, meaning that even your spouse, your wife, you have to consider her needs. And you shutting yourself out, it's only going to hurt her or hurt the marriage even more. And so, Joseph, we do appreciate you sharing that with us. And we hope and pray that next time you're in that, you know, that position where you're tempted to withdraw or to shut yourself out, you know, we want to encourage you, go ahead and just be strong and courageous and give back, you know, share, be open, pray together, whatever you need to do. So, Joseph, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, I have one quick question.
Sure.
How could we change the way we argue? Because I feel like I'm shutting out because I don't even know how to stop it from being such an argument. Instead of us communicate, you know, in a peaceful manner and discuss our problems, it's like we have to, you know, we have to argue, and we're still not getting, you know, the solutions that's needed to change the problem or whatever the issue may be.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, Joseph, one thing that would really help you, I believe, because it has helped me and it helps tons of people, is that a lot of times we revert to sinful ways, whether that's raising our voices or, like you said, withdrawing or, you know, just kind of like taking matters into our own hands when we don't trust that that person is going to listen if we're righteous. Meaning that, you know what, if I speak to you normally, I'm not getting through, so I'm going to raise my voice. So you now you got to listen. And that's not right. What you're basically using that is a manipulation tactic. Like, look, because you didn't hear me before, I'm going to make sure you listen. And it only hurts the person even more and withdraws them even more. And so my encouragement to you is it takes two to argue. Okay, so you can't change what she does, but you can change what you do. The Bible says a gentle word turns away wrath, meaning that if she says even the wrong thing, you could just, you know what, I'm sorry. Or you know what, even better, just beat her at the humility game. And what I mean by that is not, you know, to rub it in, but to say, you know what, honey, I'm wrong. Could we pray about this? I mean, I tell you, it always works. Because what is your wife going to say? No, we're not going to pray. Even if she's not ready, there are times my wife and I, we just weren't ready to pray together. We said, well, let's pray separately and then let's come together again. And so we could pray together. But the reality is, you know, when you're talking about arguing and talking about, you know, raising your voice or changing your tone, you got to be able to look at yourself and say, okay, what am I trying to accomplish here? Because if you're going to those tactics that are not righteous, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And so my encouragement to you is it takes two. Make sure you do your part so that you won't argue.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in, Joseph. And we appreciate your questions and your comment.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Let's go down to Charlotte where Mike is standing by. Good morning, Mike. You're live on the air.
Yes. How y'all doing?
Doing fine.
I'm doing great.
Turn the radio down here.
Oh. Yes.
Thank you, please. Yes. We appreciate that one.
All right, Mike. So answer the question. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would that would change your marriage? What would that thing be?
Well, first of all, marriage beyond the vow, that's a big big responsibility. You know, you have a lot of issues that comes up in a marriage. And sometimes, you know, before we get married, we don't really, you know, take that in consideration. We just think we love them. We're going to start our life and have kids and, you know, and just be happy. But we don't ever think about the responsibility before as, you know, when you're married, you know, you're different.
That's true. You just want to get married. That's all it is. Just can't wait to get married. But then it's like, okay, now you wake up the next day, you're married. And now you got to live with each other for the rest of your lives.
That's true. And, you know, when things come up, you know, you both have different views sometimes. And you don't, and you have to talk about them. Now, what made my marriage better is that I have some sinful ways. Certain things my wife didn't like, and she didn't know this part about me until we was married for years. And some things I didn't like about her either, but we had to work it out because that's part of your vow.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm giving you one example here. I have a floor cleaning business.
Okay.
And my feet get wet a lot, so when I go home, I take my shoes off in the hallway, and it leaves odor. And my wife told me about it, but sometimes I forget. before I go in the house. I usually have to take them off outside and then, you know, get and wash my feet because they get wet a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, she tell me about it, and sometimes I be in a bad mood and I snap. Yeah, well, I won't, you know, get real violent or nothing like that. I just don't like it sometimes. But I had to realize that I had taken into consideration that, you know, she was telling me something that she didn't like, and it, I understand that. So I changed that, and I started doing what she's asking me to do. But she does some things I didn't like also, you know. So we sometimes would justify our actions at times, which ain't right. You know, so what we learned to do is that, hey, we sit down, and she helped me be a better person by just listening.
That's good.
And loving her just like I love myself. That was part of the duties.
That was one of your vows.
That was one of my vows. But I had to go back and look at, you know, hey, I have to love my wife just like I love my own self.
That's good.
So I learned to be patient. She learned to be patient. We have issues. We talk about them, and not only that, they're also, I've been married for 25 years. We have kids that's grown, and then they have issues, and they come back to us with their issues also, and it's something else we have to consider.
There you go. Well, Mike, you know, I'm sorry to cut you here, but what is that one thing that you've had to change that has made your marriage better, or that you continually are working on changing that is going to help your marriage to be better?
Patience. Listen, and we work it out together and talk about it. Communication is better.
There you go. Well, that's it. Well, after 25 years, I mean, I'm sure you're speaking from experience, from wisdom, and we thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you, Mike. Thank you.
All right, have a great day. Let's go to Carolyn, who is in Clover, South Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling in. Can you please do us a favor and turn your radio down in the background? It is feeding back.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, so Carolyn, answer the question for us. If you could change one thing about yourself that would make your marriage better, what would that one thing be?
One thing that I learned since I am divorced now, that my children didn't really approve of me getting married, my second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them come in, and I guess they were more upset at me being married. And my husband and I mean, he couldn't deal with it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very into the Lord, he is too. And things just kept escalating until we finally, he went one way and I went the other way. And I had filed for a divorce, and I got my divorce. But also, I also heard that he was in the hospital. And I said, and I prayed about it. I even asked his mother. I said, I know we are getting a divorce, but my heart is his wife, ex-wife, or where a wife hadn't got my divorce yet. I felt like that was my duty to go and see him in the hospital, so I did. I prayed with him, and after I got there and I seen all these machines on him because he had open-heart surgery, I felt in my heart that that love was still there. It was still there. And I asked him, I said, are you all right? He said, yes, I'm fine. And I told him, I said, no matter what happened in our relationship, I still love you, and I want us to always be friends. And that's what I want to change in my life. Next time that I make, maybe don't let my children get in between my life. Because, you know, sometimes we let our children say things about our mate, and it shouldn't be like that. And I have grown up a lot, and I ask God for healing, and I know he is a healer, he is a provider, he'll love me unconditionally. And I just want to just go on, focus, and to stay in God. I am a Christian woman, and I do love the Lord.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, Carolyn, we thank you so much. And you know what? It's great that you were able to express that and have that conviction to share that love with him even after what you've been through.
All right.
So, Carolyn, thank you so much for sharing that.
God bless you.
Have an excellent day. Thank you. Let's move on to Trenton, New Jersey, where Shannon is there.
We will. We're actually going to go to Shannon, but we also want to pose the new question. And I think this is where maybe some people are really itching to talk to. It's very similar to the first one, mm-hmm. where it's something you need to change. But now we want to give you an opportunity to share what your spouse needs to change. Mm-hmm. And I must add this a little disclaimer. This mm-hmm. is not your chance to vent or to, you know, bash your, mm-hmm. your spouse mm-hmm. on the air, but it is to actually be honest and say, you know what, this is something that if they change, it would help me. We want to hear from you as well all about right. that. So we are going to Shannon, but just for all our listeners and those trying to get through on the lines, that's our next question.
Uh-oh, and you know the numbers, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Shannon on the line from Trenton, New Jersey. Shannon, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. One thing I would like to change within myself to make my marriage better is to get rid of my selfishness, my anger, and my attitude.
Okay. Well, that's great. Now, what are you doing to change those things? What steps have you taken?
First of all, I have to get rid of, I have to give everything to Christ in order for me to make them set, because I can't do it on my own. And I also wanted to touch on about me being selfish and not loving my wife more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I need a little bit of like input on how can I love my wife with this anger or this frustration that comes upon me of being selfish and what I always want instead of looking at what she wants.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The Bible has so much wisdom and so much input on the things that we are able or need to do in order to, in order to be able to put those scriptures into practice. One of them, I think, because you mentioned anger here, is Ephesians 4:26, where it says, "In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." You know, if anything, I would encourage you is make sure you get resolved, because what happens is if you hold it in, if you store it, I don't know, Shannon, how you are as a person or as a man, but what happens is if you harbor those things, even if they're small, you know, like, okay, she did something again, you know, that's usually why a lot of people can't control their anger, is because, you know, they're holding, they're harboring, they're storing it in their heart, and then finally something happens and they're like, ah, you know, and they blow up, and then you're like, what happened? But it's because they were storing it, and you know what? It's a lot easier to resolve something when you do it at the moment. Now, again, that's not to say, and what I said something earlier in the show, I said, you know, that's not your opportunity to pick out every single thing and then, you know, forget it. That would be overbearing. But you got to be able to say, okay, what can I live with? What can I not live with? And so if it's something that you cannot live with, like we had a previous caller that he was sharing with us how, you know, he would take off his boots and, you know, he had the stinky feet syndrome, you know, and it just drove his wife crazy. And so that was, for her, it was a fight worth fighting, you know, talking about it. It's like, look, we've been married for years. You do this over and over again. It kills me. And so, but I'm sure there were other things, you know, you got the infamous, you know, toilet paper, does it go forward or back, you know, the leaving yes. the seat up or down, you know, what kind of toothpaste we purchase. I mean, little things. And you know what? You'll be surprised, Shannon. A lot of arguments are usually over little things, but that's because it's been harboring. It's mm-hmm. been stored up. And so my encouragement to you, according to Ephesians 4:26, it says, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Meaning, before you go to bed, get resolved.
Yeah.
Because if not, then you're going to bring it into the next day, and then the next week, and then the next month. And I'll be honest with you, you're going to say some things in your anger that you will regret. And that's why the Bible does say, in your anger, do not sin. So hopefully this helps you. This little bit of advice would help you.
It really did.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Let's move down to South Carolina, Chester, South Carolina, where Annette is waiting for us patiently. Good morning. You're live on the air. Hello, Annette.
Yes.
Hi, you're live on the air. Please turn your radio down in the background. Don't focus on the radio because there's a delay there. So you want to make sure you're listening to us on the phone. And thank you so much for calling. All right. What's your comment?
What I would change in my spouse would be more openness and lovingness.
Okay, you will want your husband to be more open and loving. In what way? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
You know, show more affection and more openness and just...
Okay. You're still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, you know what? There are so many tools out there. Obviously, the scriptures talk about that. But there is actually a book. I'm sure you at least have heard of it. It's very popular. It's written by Gary Chapman, and it's the five love languages. And one of those things that he talks about is, what is your love language? I love what he says, because usually we have a love
language.
I'm just
reading that book.
There you go. So see that? That's God trying to probably clarify some things. And what I love about that book, without giving it all away, because if you're reading it now, is that you get to a part where you're able to identify what your love language is. But usually what happens is, when you have that love language, and there are five of them that he focuses on, you know, whether that is, you know, just encouragement, words of affirmation, you know, giving gifts or acts of service, you know, he goes on. And what tends to happen is, what means something to you, you tend to give that back. But sometimes your spouse, that's not what does it for them. So maybe in this case, you give him openness and you know, love and affection, but for him it's like, okay, well, that doesn't mean much. You know, I need that physical attraction, or I need, you know, something else, and vice versa. And so the encouraging thing about, you know, the fact that you're even working on this and reading and changing, is that you're able to have now some open conversation and say, you know what, honey, I love you and thank you so much for doing this, but this is what I need. This makes me feel loved. This makes my day. When you are open, when you're affectionate, when you express yourself, I mean, it just makes me feel like a queen. You know, that's and guess what? If he's a smart man, and I'm sure he's a smart man, he will be able to listen to those things, and it won't be easy. You need to be patient, but he'll start being able to see, wait a minute, if this is a turn on for my wife, if this encourages her, then, you know, this is what I need to do.
All right. We thank you so much for calling in. I hope Marcos was helpful to you, and I hope you have an awesome day.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Marriage Beyond the Vows rolls on with question part two. What is it that your spouse could do to change about him or herself to make the marriage better? Call us at 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. More conversation returns after this.